Yeah, a little bit of game show music because it's time for the Catholic Answers Game Show, which we call the Catholic Answers Game Show. I am Cy Kellett, your game show host, joined in studio by apologist, writer, and speaker extraordinaire, Carlo Broussard. Carlo, welcome back to the game show.
Cy.
Yes.
You get that groove on with your wife, Missy, every once in a while? You go out dancing and dance like that with Miss Missy?
I think you were present the last time I danced. I believe it was like
on the cruise ship.
It was years ago on a cruise ship.
I remember that, man. That
I know. No one forgets when they see me dancing. Nobody forgets that.
You were cutting that rug with Miss Missy.
Yeah. All right, I lost my train of thought. That was so upsetting to me. We're playing the game show. All right, here's how the I'll tell you what. We'll introduce our contestants. We have two contestants who have joined us for the program, and I'm very happy to welcome them. First of all, Paul, are you there with us?
I am. Glad to be here.
Well, thank you for being with us, Paul. Where are you, and what's interesting about you?
Well, I live in a little town called Pearland, and it's just south of Houston, so it's a suburb of Houston because nobody actually lives in Houston.
Wait, there's America south of Houston, or you live in another country? It's very far south, Houston.
Yeah, about 10 or 12 miles south of Houston.
Okay.
And, I work at a software development company, and on the side, I also help with adult faith formation here at our.
Beautiful.
Very good. So if you win, they're going to trust you. If you don't win, they're not going to listen to you anymore, Paul.
Yeah, I won't be sending them the video.
By the way, Paul mentions video. This is the first time we've ever done this. We're using video this time. So I actually can see Paul. I said that I could actually see Paul, and then they changed the monitor on me, so I can't. But I wonder if we'll see Vicky. I'm fascinated to find out. Now, Vicky, are you there with us?
I am.
Hello, welcome, Vicky. Where are you, and what's interesting about you?
I am smack dab in the middle of the country, just about 30 miles south of Omaha. I'm just your run-of-the-mill, average middle-aged woman. I have a gaggle of grandkids. We're working on number 11 grandkids
Wow.
right now.
Oh, that's way above average. That's way above average.
They keep me busy, but I also am working still. I'm in IT also, Paul. I'm a data engineer for a major health insurance provider.
All right, the two of you will have to speak English. We can't have this computer type talk. Just keep it English for us. All right, so we got Texas. Wait, which state are you in, Vicky?
Nebraska.
In Nebraska, okay.
South of Omaha, Nebraska.
So we got Nebraska against Texas. It's a Central Time Zone showdown today on the Catholic Answers game show. Vicky and Paul, I'm going to go over the rules, and then we'll play the game. If you are folks listening at home, time to get the pencil, time to get the paper, time to wake up the grandparents and gather the kids around the kitchen table and play the Catholic Answers game show. So the first rule is for the two of you contestants, please let me read the question twice because people do play at home. And if you just shout out the answer, it doesn't give them a chance to test themselves. So just let me read it twice and then you can give your answer. The rules are as follows. There are three rounds to the Catholic Answers game show. The last round is called Your Final Judgment, and only one of you will be going on to Your Final Judgment today. It's the one who wins rounds one and two. In Your Final Judgment, there are no afterlife lines, and during Your Final Judgment, it's all true or false questions. The first two rounds are multiple choice questions, and they include what we call afterlife lines, and Carlo helps you with those. You get one afterlife line, and that is 50-50. Just ask Carlo to give you to take away one wrong answer, and then you get a 50-50 shot at it. You'll have two answers left. The other afterlife line that you will have available to you is Carlo just gives you the correct answer. Once you have used a lifeline, however, an afterlife line, it is gone. If you use it in round one, you don't get more in round two. So use them wisely. Is that all clear to you?
Yep.
Two lifelines, right? Total.
Yes, right. You are good with the math there.
And it's not in Pig Latin, right?
Oh!
He got it.
What?
He's listening.
He's listened before. Oh, Vicky, you're in trouble. Paul's listened to the game show before.
I know I am.
If you ask Carlo to give you the correct answer, he will give you the correct answer, but it will be in Pig Latin.
So my recommendation is don't go for that lifeline if it's a long, long, long answer.
And Carlo is the only person who recommends that. The rest of us want to hear Carlo struggle to give us a Pig Latin answer. But although he's gotten really good at it, it's not a struggle for you anymore.
Well, I care about the contestant. I don't want to mess them up with bad Pig Latin.
Isn't that beautiful? Yeah. Isn't that beautiful? All right. It sounds like everybody's ready to play. Darren, we ready to play? All right. If you get the correct answer, you'll hear this sound effect. And if you get the wrong answer, you'll hear this sound effect. Contestant number one is Paul. Contestant number two is Vicky. That is completely determined by who we get on the line first. And so Paul was a few seconds ahead of Vicky today. That does not come into play unless we are tied after the first two rounds. And I'll tell you how it comes into play if we're tied. If we're not tied, you'll never know. You'll never know what the significance of that was. All right, here we go, Paul. You ready for your first question in round one?
I am.
All right, Paul, again, just let me read the question twice, and then go ahead and give whatever answer you like, or ask Carlo to help you with an after lifeline. Paul, which is the only gospel written by a Gentile? Once again, Paul, which is the only gospel written by a Gentile? Oh, A. I forgot to read the answers. I was waiting for Darren to play the music. I was like, oh, I think Darren forgot to play the music. All right. I don't know who's going to be the winner of this game, but I know who the loser is, and that would be me. All right. Which is the only gospel written by a Gentile? A, Matthew. B, Mark. C, Luke. Once again, which is the only gospel written by a Gentile? A, Matthew. B, Mark. C, Luke.
I'm going to go with C, Luke the physician.
That is correct.
Wow.
Comes from Colossians chapter 4, verses 10 through 11 and verse 14. Paul is giving a list of those who greet the Christians in Colossae. And among those are the men of the circumcision, among my fellow workers for the kingdom of God. And he excludes Luke from that group of men of the circumcision, implying that Luke is a Gentile, not a Jew.
Nice going, Paul. And you named his profession. You don't get bonus points for that because you're in Texas. But if people in Nebraska say something like that, they get bonus points. But Texans, no. No, you got to earn them. Vicky, here's your first question of round one. I will read the whole question this time, unlike I did with Paul. And allow me to read it twice. Which of the following letters has no named author? A, the letter to the Hebrews. B, the letter to the Romans. C, the first letter to the Thessalonians. Once again, Vicky, which of the following letters has no named author? A, letter to the Hebrews. B, the letter to the Romans. Or C, the first letter to the Thessalonians.
I'm in trouble against this DRE that I'm playing with. but I'll go with my first instinct. A, Hebrews.
Good job.
Yes.
Good job, Vicky. Good job with the instinct there.
It's funny that we have video and Vicky's wearing a Nebraska sweatshirt, I just realized. And I'm like, and what state are you in?
Go Big Red.
Yes, and that would be what state? Okay. I am definitely the loser of this game so far. All right, we're tied 1-1 after the first.
Good job, Vicky.
Question. Second question of round one. Second question of round one. This is for you, Paul. Paul, at the ascension of Jesus, A, Moses and Elijah appeared with Jesus in bright light. B, the apostles seemed to have watched him disappear into the sky. Or C, no actual mention is made of the sky. Once again, at the ascension of Jesus, A, Moses and Elijah appeared with Jesus in bright light. B, the apostles seemed to have watched him disappear into the sky. Or C, no actual mention is made of the sky.
That'll be B.
Dang.
That is correct.
Dang. You didn't, there was no hesitation at all on that.
Now, what's interesting is that C possibly could be true.
Well,
because It is true that the verse doesn't say sky.
Yeah, but the next verse does.
It says looking into heaven. I don't know what the Greek word there. The English translation says heaven, but maybe
cielo.
Some...
Okay, the Greek word is cielo.
There you go. All right.
That's
so
the Spanish word. I don't know. I don't know what the Greek word is.
I don't know what the Greek word is. It says heaven in some translations, but heavens implies sky. So you're safe, Si.
Yeah. Because the reason I said cielo is because in Spanish, heaven and sky are essentially the same
word. Acts 1:9, they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud, and that would, of course, imply the sky as well, took him out of their sight.
And they said, men of Galilee, why do you stand there looking up into the sky? But you said the looking up into heaven is what it...
Yeah, maybe there are some translations that say sky there.
All right. So should we give Paul that point or not?
Of course.
I don't think we should give it to him. I think he should have known that. All right, we'll give it to him.
All right. Uranos is the Greek word, which means heaven or sky. So you're good.
All right. Vicky, question number two for you. At the ascension of Jesus, two men in white, A, told the apostles to go to Galilee, B, explained that Jesus was coming back, or C, told them to spread the good news to the ends of the earth. Once again, at the ascension of Jesus, two men in white, A, told the apostles to go to Galilee, B, explained that Jesus was coming back, or C, told them to spread the good news to the ends of the earth.
The ascension. I know they were told to go to Galilee at some point, I believe.
You do have lifelines if you want to use them. You're free to use whatever you want.
Okay, let me use a lifeline. And let's do Pig Latin.
All right.
Okay. All right. Please. Here we go.
You ready, Vicky? Here we go.
Yes.
Explain de, hate, ezue, aswe, omince, akbe. Explain de, date, esuse, aswe, omince, akbe.
I think Carla just gave two completely different readings in Pig Latin. I don't think those were the same at all. But
read the answers back to her.
You need me to read the answers back?
Yes, please.
All right. So at the ascension of Jesus, two men in white, A, told the apostles to go to Galilee, B, explained that Jesus was coming back, or C, told them to spread the good news to the ends of the earth.
B, that Jesus was coming back.
There it is.
Pig Latin.
Excellent. Excellent Pig Latin. Some of the best I've heard today.
Good job.
Thank you.
Sorry I didn't screw you up.
And when did they say he was coming back, Carlo? Did they give a date?
No, they did not.
Well, I feel like I'm still waiting. All right, we're going to wait a little longer for the return of Jesus in glory and for the continuation of this show, because we got to take a quick break. We'll be right back with Paul, with Vicky, with Carlo for the Catholic Answers Game Show right after this.
Catholic Answers Live.
Do you have a question but prefer to ask it privately? Catholic Questions can help. Go to CatholicQuestions.com to ask your question online, email us, drop us a letter, or give us a call. Longtime Catholic Answers Live apologist and author Jim Blackburn or another Catholic Questions apologist will be happy to assist you. Catholic Questions proudly supports Catholic Answers Live, so visit us at CatholicQuestions.com today. That's CatholicQuestions.com.
If it's central to the faith, you can find it on EWTN Podcast Central, featuring the best of EWTN radio, as well as faith-filled podcasts from our friends and affiliates across the nation, all in one place, all free. The destination for great Catholic audio programming is EWTN Podcast Central. It's like podcast heaven. Visit EWTN.com/radio/podcasts today.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. If you're just joining us, boy, are you lucky, because you joined us right in the middle of the game show. It's the Catholic Answers Game Show. We've got Paul and Vicky on the line. Paul is contestant number one, Vicky contestant number two. We are in the last question now of round one. If you're keeping score at home, it's tied 2-2 right now. Here's your final question of round one, Paul. Paul, the Catholic Church teaches that all the baptized, A, share in a common priesthood. B, must confess at least twice a year to a priest. Or C, must tithe 10%. Once again, Paul, the Catholic Church teaches that all the baptized, A, share in a common priesthood. B, must confess at least twice a year to a priest. Or C, must tithe 10%.
I am going to go with A, because when we're baptized priest, prophet, king.
Ding, that's correct. Paragraph 1268, baptism gives a share in the common priesthood of all believers. Si, the catechism agrees with you, buddy.
It agrees with me, but more importantly, it agrees with Paul, who gets the point,
there you go.
And I believe is intentionally trying to intimidate Vicky now by saying things like priest, prophet, and king.
Yeah.
I've never been on one contestant's side, but I am so on your side right now, Vicky. Let's get him. Come on, let's. All right.
Now, Si, why?
I'm only kidding, Paul.
Si,
I'm
going to put you in the hot seat and you be the apologist here. Why is it that C is not correct? Must tithe 10%.
Oh.
Because there's no.
There's not a precept of the church that says that. The precept says you must support the church. Or be,
right, yeah. But no particular number on the support.
Oh,
right.
Thank you, Carlo. I appreciate that.
Good
okay.
job, Si.
Thank you.
Maybe we should switch roles one day.
No, I don't think so. I don't think that's going to happen. Vicky, here you go. Here's your final question of round one. Vicky, the church executed Galileo because A, he taught that the earth orbits the sun. B, he taught that there are many worlds in the universe. Or C, none of the above. Once again, Vicky, the church executed Galileo because A, he taught that the earth orbits the sun. B, he taught that there are many worlds in the universe. Or C, none of the above.
I'm gonna go with C, none of the above.
Okay, wait, I gotta ask you why first. Why are you going with C? I'm just curious.
Well, just my first instincts is that the church didn't execute.
There you go. There you go.
Good for you, Vicky. Nicely done. Yeah.
Yeah, I was worried that A would have like tripped her up, you know, because that's a true statement.
That's right.
But it's not the reason for execution, which the execution never happened, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, as for our listeners, Si, I would recommend a course by our boss here, our CEO at Catholic Answers, Chris Check, The Galileo Affair, which is a course for our Catholic Answers School of Apologetics, and also a talk that Chris Check gave, which people can get at shop.catholic.com, Moving Heaven and Earth. So I would recommend those two resources if they're interested.
All right. Again, we are tied. However, Vicky, you are down one after Lifeline. You no longer have the just give me the answer after Lifeline. Three questions and two after Lifelines left for you, Paul. So you are in good shape here going into round two. Here's your first question of round two, Paul. Docetism is a heresy of the early church. It held that by the power of the will, the human person could come to righteousness without the need for saving grace. Or B, Jesus does not actually possess a physical human body. Or C, Mary is the mother of Jesus, but not the mother of God. Once again, docetism is a heresy of the early church. It held that A, by the power of the will, the human person could come to righteousness without the need for saving grace. Or B, Jesus does not actually possess a physical human body. Or C, Mary is the mother of Jesus, but not the mother of God.
Okay, well, the first one I think is Pelagianism, so it's not that. And the last one is Nestorianism. So by process of elimination, I'm going to go with B.
Holy smokes, he's good, isn't
good
he?
Good job,
isn't
yeah.
That? I feel so much better about the religious education people are getting in the Catholic Church.
Amen.
Now that I know that Paul is holding down the area south of Houston, I feel better about the whole thing.
I just realized something.
Yeah.
Now that we're on video, I can't be nodding when he's doing his reasoning
process.
We can't
do any kind of signaling or like, oh.
When he said, C is this story, and I started nodding, and I saw myself on the video, I was like, holy
cow,
I
can't do that. Wow, nicely reasoned out.
I may not have used that as a help.
Yeah, the Greek word doke means seen. That's where it comes from. And it was an early church belief. Even Ignatius of Antioch in the early 2nd century was battling this, and it was officially condemned at the Council of Nicaea, affirming that our Lord had a real human body.
All right, question number one of round two for you, Vicky. Vicky, antinomianism is a heretical view holding that A, Christians are freed by grace from the moral law. B, the emperor or local princes should appoint bishops. Or C, the body is evil. Once again, antinomianism is a heretical view holding that A, Christians are freed by grace from the moral law. Or B, the emperor or local princes should appoint bishops. Or C, the body is evil.
So I have a lifeline left, right?
Yeah, you got that. You can ask Carlo to eliminate one wrong answer.
Oh gosh. Okay, we'll do that.
All right, Carlo, you got to eliminate one wrong answer.
All right, Vicky, I'll eliminate C. The body is evil.
So your choices for a definition of antinomianism are Christians are freed by grace from the moral law, or the emperor or local princes should appoint bishops.
The emperor or the what?
Or, local princes should appoint bishops.
Or local. I'm going to go with A.
Wow.
Man, she's getting good with these.
Your process is completely the opposite of Paul's process, but it works for you.
I'm lucky.
That's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. Anti against nomos law, against law. Christians are freed by grace from the moral law. This idea that we are no longer bound by law in any way in the new covenant is anti-law, right? And so that's where it comes from.
And it is not true.
It is not true.
Just to be clear, it is not true. We still must follow the moral law.
And even ecclesiastical laws.
Oh, yeah, sure,
sure. Imposes
right.
upon us.
Yeah. Right. Paul, here's question number two of round two for you. Okay. The Immaculate Conception, A, is a relatively late doctrine to be officially declared. B, is the clear and constant teaching that Jesus was conceived without sin. Or C, is the doctrine that Mary could not sin. Once again, the Immaculate Conception, A, is a relatively late doctrine to be officially declared. B, is the clear and constant teaching that Jesus was conceived without sin. Or C, is the doctrine that Mary could not sin.
Oh, gosh. The first one is hard because relative is relative.
Oh, yeah. Talking to a computer engineer.
Sorry.
He's like, I'm going to need some more precise language on that. You got lifelines. You got both your lifelines.
I'm going to ask for a lifeline. Can I have the Pig Latin, please? Just because I like
may I just
that.
Say bless you, Paul, for making Carlo answer this one in Pig Latin. Go ahead, Carlo. This should be fun.
All right, here we go. You ready?
Yep.
Elatively re. Eightly. Octrine day, ote ebe fischilie oe eclair day. Did you get that one?
Would you like me to read the questions again?
No, I think I got it.
Okay.
Unless you really want to hear him say it again.
No, that's all right. You're all right. Thanks.
I feel like saying amen after he says that.
I know, right? It sounds like a nice Latin prayer,
man.
Huh?
I'm going to go with... A, the relatively late.
Yeah, good job, man. Yep, it's not, it's
tricky.
It depends on the substance of the doctrine was present in the early church. The precise formulation did not come until later. So the doctrine was there. It was implicit in the early church's understanding that Mary was the new Eve, going all the way back to Justin Martyr in AD 150, St. Irenaeus in AD 180. Even St. Hippolytus is referring to Mary as the incorruptible wood, referring to her as the new Ark of the Covenant in the late 2nd century from AD 180 to 200, the implication being that just as the old Ark was created with purity, in purity, with the purest of gold, so too Mary was created pure. And the theme of Mary being the new Eve, if the first Eve was created free from original sin, well then the New Testament fulfillment, the new Eve, would have to be created free from original sin.
I'm wondering, Paul, what gave you difficulty on that one, or why you wanted to use a lifeline? Did the other answers sound reasonable to you?
Well, answer C sounded reasonable, except, you know, she could sin because her nature could sin. So that was why I just wanted to be sure.
That's pretty much
thought that C was not right. Yeah.
Right. And that is the the doctrine of the church, if I understand it, is Jesus could not sin.
Yeah, there are two ways in which you cannot sin. Number one, by nature, and that's God, or number two, by grace, the blessed in heaven with the beatific vision.
Right.
So the blessed in heaven, they don't have the potential to sin. They can choose between good A or good B, but they can't choose to sin.
Right.
God can't choose because of who he is and his perfection. Mary was neither, right? She's not God, obviously, nor does she have the grace of the beatific vision in this life. So there was a potential to sin. That potential simply was never actualized, right? Because of God's grace always upholding her in the good, never permitting her to defect.
So we are halfway through round two. Vicki, if you can hang on through the hard break here, we will get to your second question of round two. We'll find out soon who's going on to their final judgment. It's the Catholic Answers Game Show. More after this. This year, the Catholic Answers Conference turns its attention to the question of God in an age of unbelief. Join us September 21st through 24th in San Diego for I Believe in God, featuring very special guest Scott Hahn and an all-star lineup of speakers. Spend four fun days with your favorite Catholic Answers apologists. Seats are still available, but going fast. Use promo code EARLY to save $50 and register today at CatholicAnswersConference.com.
In These 12, The Gospel Through the Apostles' Eyes, best-selling author Rod Bennett gives a riveting re-examination of gospel events from the ground floor perspective of Christ's own hand-picked successors. In his trademark storytelling style, Bennett movingly depicts what it was like for the apostles to witness Jesus' teaching and miracles up close. Why did he call them, and what did he intend for them to do? Order your copy of These 12 today at shop.catholic.com or get it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Want to know more about the origins of the Catholic Church? Joe Heschmeyer explores the beginnings of Christianity. In the early church was the Catholic Church. Joe digs deep into the words and actions of those who lived right after the apostles to refute anti-Catholic claims of how the faith was lived back then. Order your copy of The Early Church Was the Catholic Church today at shop.catholic.com or get it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
If you're not a Bible scholar, the full message of how the Sunday Mass readings fit together can be tough to comprehend. Apologist Carlo Broussard is here to help. Join Carlo every Friday for the Sunday Catholic Word Podcast. In each episode, he unpacks the scripture readings for that Sunday and brings them all together so you can better understand and defend the faith. Visit SundayCatholicWord.com to subscribe. That's SundayCatholicWord.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your game show host, because we're playing the Catholic Answers game show right now. Carlo Broussard, our expert guest here helping out, speaking some Pig Latin, giving us the insight on what the answers mean and what the implications of them are. And playing the game, we've got Paul down in Texas, and we've got Vicki over in Nebraska. And we are tied right now that we're halfway through the round two. After this, we will count it all up and see who's going on to their final judgment. Vicki, here's question number two of round two for you. Vicki, theosis is the teaching that Jesus is the divine Son, the teaching that Mary is the Mother of God, the teaching that we shall share in the divine nature. Once again, theosis is the teaching that Jesus is the divine Son, the teaching that Mary is the Mother of God. Wait, I got to say the letters in front of these. I wasn't saying the letters. Ah, got to start over again. Theosis is A, the teaching that Jesus is the divine Son, B, the teaching that Mary is the Mother of God, or C, the teaching that we shall share in the divine nature.
And I don't have any lifelines, right?
You do not have any lifelines, and I'm not going to do get facial expressions or nodding the head or anything. Carlo, behave yourself. I'll read it to you one more time if you want.
Sure.
All right.
Please.
Theosis is A, the teaching that Jesus is the divine Son, B, the teaching that Mary is the mother of God, or C, the teaching that we shall share in the divine nature?
I'm going to go with C, that we will share in the divine nature.
Are you messing with us? Like, you pretend like you don't know the answer, and then you say, I'll go with C, the teaching that we will share in the divine. What on earth, Vicky? What's going on there?
That was a tricky one, given that she wasn't too sure, because Theotokos is the term used for Mary, Mother of God.
That's very similar.
Good job. Yeah. Yes, Vicky, good job. Yeah, theosis is a word that's really used and emphasized in Eastern theology, Eastern Catholics and Orthodox Christians, to describe essentially what we profess as Catholics, the sharing in the divine nature.
Divinization,
correct. The Catechism doesn't use theosis. It uses that word, divinization, to talk about how we become partakers of the divine nature, 2 Peter 1:4. The Catechism explains this in paragraph 460. This is sort of a hiccup for many people, where the Catechism quotes St. Athanasius talking about how God became man so that we become God. Yeah. And many people misinterpret that. I just heard a priest giving a homily not too long ago misinterpreting that phrase. But what is meant by that is that we participate in, we share in the Trinitarian life of knowledge and love, etc. In paragraph 1, the Catechism lays out its whole plan, or the plan of God, in a plan of sheer goodness. God freely created man to make him share in his own blessed life. We call that the exitus, God creating man, we coming forth from God as our creator, and then returning, the reditus, returning back to God to share in the blessed life of the Trinity, which is called theosis.
Nice work, Vicky.
Yeah, that was great.
Congratulations on that. All right, we are still tied going into the final question. Your final question, Paul, Mormon baptism is A. Wait, I'm sorry. Mormon baptism, A, is accepted as valid by the Catholic Church. B, is not accepted as valid by the Catholic Church. C, leaves out the name of Jesus. Once again, Mormon baptism, A, is accepted as valid by the Catholic Church. B, is not accepted as valid by the Catholic Church. Or C, leaves out the name of Jesus.
I am going to go with B. They don't believe in the Trinity, so...
Yeah, they don't believe in the Trinity as we believe in it. Then called the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith in 2001 put out a document declaring that their baptisms were invalid. And the reason why, as Paul rightly said, is because of their belief about the Trinity being essentially different than what we believe about the Trinity. So as the document states, their belief in the Trinity, according to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, there are not three persons in which subsists the one Godhead, but three gods who form one divinity. One is different from the other, even though they exist in perfect harmony. So there's a difference between the three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in being, right?
Yeah.
So there are three distinct beings who are harmonized perfectly with one another, whereas our belief as Christians in the Trinity is that the Father, and Son, and Holy Spirit are not three distinct beings, but one being.
Yeah.
Because they're all identical to the divine essence, which just is the divine being. So based on that reason, the church declared, nope, baptisms are invalid because they're invoking the Trinity in a way that they believe it's essentially different than what we believe.
Paul, I got to say, whatever happens from here on out, perfect score through for two rounds. Congratulations on that. That is fantastic. Just to congratulate you on that, I'm going to give you a copy of Carlo's book, The New Relativism, Unmasking the Philosophy of Today's Woke Moralists. A great new book, and I want you to have it. And congratulations. Now, Vicky, here's the deal. Everything's riding on this question. No pressure. I don't want you to feel pressure. Everything, the entire future of your life is riding on this question. Ready, Vicky?
Yes.
Okay. Vicky, Byzantine Catholicism, A, does not share all of the sacraments of the Catholic Church, but shares most. B, is not accepted as valid by the Catholic Church. Or C, is actually a rite of the Catholic Church. Once again, Vicky, Byzantine Catholicism, A, does not share all of the sacraments of the Catholic Church, but shares most. B, is not accepted as valid by the Catholic Church, or C, is actually a rite of the Catholic Church? Yeah, make some kind of noise while you're thinking, Vicky, because it's radio. We're going to need some kind of, I'm thinking.
I'm thinking that.
Oh, I like this. It's good. Okay.
I think it's the right, the C.
Oh, my goodness, Vicky.
Good job, Vicky.
You always seem right to be on the precipice of disaster. You just always seem to be right on the edge of disaster. And then you're like, no, I'll step back. Wow.
Perfect score, right?
Again, a perfect score.
Wow.
Perfect. So they both made it.
Hey,
it does seem like two distinctly different journeys.
Listen,
to the same end.
I was
end,
about to say, it doesn't matter how you get there as long as you get right there, right?
All right. So I'll tell you what I'm going to do, Vicky. I'm going to take back Paul's copy of The New Relativism and give it to you. No, I'm not really, Paul. I'm only kidding. I'm going to give you.
He doesn't need it, apparently.
Well, everybody needs it. It's a book diagnosing the moral ills of our time. The New Relativism, Unmasking the Philosophy of Today's Woke Moralists by Carla Broussard. You're each getting a free copy of it.
Awesome.
Now it's time for your final judgment, but I don't know who to send on to final judgment because amazingly, we are tied. So I have two boxes in front of me. One of them is box A, one of them is box B. Paul, because you are contestant number one, you just get to pick a box, and Carlo will read what's inside of it. Box A or B, what would you like?
B.
B.
Which one is that?
Oh, I think, wait, let me see. There it is, B.
All right, box B is...
Because first time ever opening a box for Carlo. Usually his wife Jacqueline opens all the boxes. He did it. Look at that. Congratulations, Carlo.
All right, here we go.
Thanks for playing, but you're not going on to final judgment. That's just not right. That Paul is not going on. I'm glad you're going on, Vicky, but
wow.
I feel like...
Wow. Man. What a turn of events.
What a turn of events. I am speechless.
Paul could be my lifeline.
You don't get lifelines in this part. But I'll tell you what. I'm gonna make an audible call. Whatever Vicky wins, we're going to also give it to Paul.
Whoa.
How about that? Does that sound good, Vicky?
Awesome.
Yes.
Because you know what's going to happen, Paul?
Really on.
She's not going to know the answer to any of them, but she's going to get them all right. That's what's going to happen. So... All right, Paul, thanks for playing. You can hang on with us to see what you win. You don't have to go
anywhere
if you don't want to. But Vicky, it's time for your final judgment. You have made it to your final judgment. Where is it? Oh, I'm looking for my piece of paper that has your final judgment on it. Do you have it? Oh, there it is. I found it. It's on the piece of paper I'm holding in my hand. All right, it's 7 true or false questions. You have no lifelines, just answer true or false. Before I ask you the question, I will tell you what you are playing for that question. If, as I'm pretty sure is going to happen, you get them all right, you also get a free course at the Catholic Answers School of Apologetics. So if you get 7 out of 7 correct, you get a free course at the Catholic Answers School of Apologetics. But you, each question has its own gift that comes with it. Question number one, you will be playing for Carlo's book, Prepare the Way, Overcoming Obstacles to God, the Gospel, and the Church. Is somebody keeping track of what I'm promising? Okay, thank you very much. True or false, Vicky? And let me read it twice, please. Even from its earliest days, the Christian church had an official hierarchy. Once again, true or false, Vicky? Even from its earliest days, the Christian church had an official hierarchy.
True.
Vicky,
right.
You have the most interesting manner of playing. Just like, I'm not even going to answer this. True. I'll just throw that out. Nice. Nice job. Why do you say that? I'm curious about why you say it, Vicky.
Because it was built upon Peter the Rock.
There you go. Good girl. Absolutely. Good job.
Did I ever do the break? I can't remember. I never did the break?
It's
time to go to a break?
Yeah.
Okay. Vicky, 6 more true or false questions coming up for you right after this on the Catholic Answers Game Show.
Hang on. Catholic Answers Live will return in a moment.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
Do you love sharing the gospel and want to learn to be more effective? Join the St. Paul Street Evangelization Online School of Evangelization. You will learn to build bridges of trust and make disciples by befriending strangers, proclaiming the gospel, inviting people to the church, and praying with others. We'll ask for a pledge of financial support, but if you are unable to give, we'll give you a membership at no cost. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
He was a doctor of the church and one of the most famous saints of all time.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. Augustine is honored for his immense contributions to theology, but he balanced his genius with humility. Once declared, it was pride that changed angels into devils. It is humility that makes men as angels. He died in 461.
To find out more, visit EWTN.com and click on Catholicism.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. At the break, Paul said, don't play poker with Vicky, because she does not give away her hand. She gets these answers. She acts like she's not going to, and then boom, she does. Vicky, here's question number two for you. It's a true or false. You're playing for my book, A Teacher of Strange Things, Who Jesus Was, What He Taught, and Why People Still Follow Him. True or false, Vicky, only five of the seven sacraments were given to us by Jesus. Once again, true or false? Only five of the seven sacraments were given to us by Jesus.
I'm thinking.
Oh, thank you for making noise. She's like, oh, I remember now that I'm supposed to make noise because this is radio. Okay, I'll tell you what. I'll make the. We have music playing in the background. You take your time and think about this. It's very. I'm sure everyone listening is like, I'll just enjoy listening to this magnificent music. Well, Vicky decides true or false on only five of the seven sacraments were given to us by Jesus. True or false, Vicky? True or false? True or false? And your answer is, it's really only two options, true or false, Vicky. It's not a long list of things you got to decide. You just have to say one word, either the word true or the word false. Only five of the seven sacraments were given to us by Jesus. True or false?
Given to us.
Vicky is taking this quite seriously. Have we ever just timed out? Like we couldn't finish the game show today because Vicky wouldn't give us an answer. Has that ever happened, Darren?
I'm going with false.
You're going with false?
Dude.
Vicky.
She got it, man.
You're wonderful. Just maybe 5 minutes less. Just say the answer, Vicky. Because you get them all right.
Yes, that's amazing.
It's false. That is
false.
Yeah,
the Council of Trent, in fact, infallibly defined this in its canons on the sacraments in general, saying anybody who says not all seven came from Jesus, let him be anathema. So, you're right in line with the Council of Trent there, Vicky.
You're not anathema. You get to stay in the Catholic Church. Although you're getting to be anathema with me with the amount of time you're taking. You're pretty close to anathema, Vicky.
That was amazing.
All right, Vicky, true or false? Let's see, what are we playing for this time? I'll tell you what, Words Set in Stone, it's the new book from Dave Armstrong where he talks about how science, history, and archaeology are proving the Bible true in a whole bunch of ways. So, and it's just a fun, fun thing to read about how the latest science, archaeology, and history are doing that. So you're playing for that. True or false, Vicky, salvation happens only once, and once it happens, it cannot be lost. Once again, salvation happens only once, and once it happens, it cannot be lost.
I know as an individual, you can lose your salvation. So repeat it so I know what.
Okay, so true or false? Salvation happens only once, and once it happens, it cannot be lost.
False.
Yes.
Good job.
Are you asking or are you telling us? Nicely done.
Yeah, she got it. She just wants to make sure she
You're still perfect too, Vicki. You are still perfect. Four more questions and you win an extra prize for you and for Paul, who's getting all the prizes that you win. So up next, we already gave him the new relativism. So let's go with When Protestants Argue Like Atheists. That's the newest book from Trent Horn. All of Trent's books are good, so you'll be happy you got this one. When Protestants Argue Like Atheists, that's what you're playing for. True or false, Vicki? The church has always taught that every part of the Bible is without error. True or false, Vicki? The church has always taught that every part of the Bible is without error.
True.
She is on a roll, brother. She got it.
No, but what happened that you went so fast, Vicki? Like, what? You don't want to take eight more minutes of rocking back and forth in your chair? You're happy with that? All right.
Yeah.
Why were you so quick on that?
Divine revelation. We have the extra seven books, right? Nothing's ever been taken away. So I think it's all good. The Bible's all good.
Well, you think correctly on that.
Yeah, a Second Vatican Council, De Verbum, Section 11, Scripture teaches faithfully without error the truth of God, and that's based on the fact that based on what De Verbum teaches, that the Scriptures whole and entire with all their parts are inspired by God. And since error can't come from God, it follows that the Bible whole and entire with all their parts are without error.
Doing great. Just doing great.
Let's three more, Vicki. Come on. You can do it.
All right. The next one is Heart of the Gospel. It's a book by Father Sebastian Walsh, who's never written a wayward word, I don't think. He's just a lovely writer. And this Heart of the Gospel is all about the eight Beatitudes. It's in the title. He argues that they are the very heart of the gospel. It's a lovely new book from Catholic Answers. True or false, Vicki? When the church canonizes a saint, it declares that everything that person taught is theologically correct. Once again, true or false, Vicki? When the church canonizes a saint, it declares that everything that person taught is theologically correct. I'll just describe for the listener what's going on now. Vicki is turning one side of her mouth up and then turning that side of her mouth down. And then she's turning the other side of her mouth up and then turning that side of her mouth down. It's a fascinating view we're getting of Vicki's mental processes. Do you want me to read the question again, Vicki? You don't have to listen as I describe what you're doing. Okay. Vicki now adjusting her glasses. And true or false, Vicki, when the church canonizes a saint, it declares that everything that person taught is theologically correct. True or false?
I think it's false.
Vicki, you are a killer.
You are two away, Vicki.
Vicki, just admit it now.
Two away from a perfect score.
Where do you teach theology? Just admit it. What university do you teach theology in? This is a dirty lie.
I just listen to you guys.
Oh,
honestly.
I like that answer. Yes. You listen. Do you like the parts where you're listening to the show and nobody says anything for 5 minutes? Is that your favorite part of the show? Because you're, if that's what we do in radio, you're the best radio person ever. All right, Vicki. Ready for question number six?
This is awesome.
This is awesome. What should she play for? Purgatory is for real. Carla's book, Purgatory is for real. Good news about the afterlife for those who aren't perfect yet.
Well, it is a bit appropriate that we're having to wait a little bit.
I know,
for
right?
The answer.
You're helping us all with our purgatory time there.
We love you, Vicki. Good job.
All right, Vicki. True or false on this one? Catholicism accepts the possibility that God develops and changes along with creation. Once again, Vicki, true or false? Catholicism accepts the possibility that God develops and changes along with creation. Vicki now making a scrunchy face, now shaking her head slightly. I can do like a golf commentary. And now lining up the shot, pursing her lips, blinking her eyes, shaking her head again, wants to hear the question read, but doesn't want to ask. Catholicism accepts the possibility that God develops and changes along with creation. True or false? Vicki now staring off into space.
No changing.
No changing. You got it, sister.
I'm sorry, but you were a little quick with the answer. What was the answer again? That was I came out so quickly that I couldn't quite hear you. All right, Vicky. This is the last of your final judgment questions. If you get this question right, you are perfect. Like perfect. Like perfect through round one, perfect through round two, perfect through true or false. You win all the prizes. Paul wins all the prizes. Everybody on earth is happy. There's peace, cats and dogs, living in harmony.
That's a lot of pressure.
Yeah. Okay. True or false? Oh, the prize. I need a prize for this one. Let's do this. I'm looking through the list here. Why We're Catholic. Let's just do Why We're Catholic. Trent's book, Why We're Catholic. That's a good one. But Vicky doesn't need that. She already knows why. She knows everything about the Catholic Church. All right. Professor Vicky from Oxford University, here is your final question. True or false? Essential moral truths do not change depending on circumstances. Once again, true or false, Vicky? Essential moral truths do not change depending on circumstances.
True, they do not change depending on circumstances.
Unbelievable.
She got it.
She has done it. She has run the table. She is the Fats Domino. No, not Fats Domino. Fats, well, who's the guy that ran the table in pool? I can't remember now. Minnesota Fats of the game show. That was amazing.
Good job. Amazing Vicky. Work. Congratulations.
I can say congratulations to you, and I can say congratulations to your opponent for the day, Paul. Also perfect.
Thank you.
Also gets all the prizes, the free course in the Catholic Answer School of Apologetics, the 7 books. And then also the book that you each got as a bonus, The New Relativism, Unmasking the Philosophy of Today's Woke Moralists by our own Carla Broussard. Wow.
Vicky?
That's awesome.
Based
Thank
upon
you,
some of these questions and you didn't know and you were taking a guess, I'd go buy a lottery ticket today if I were
yes.
you.
Yes, right. Yeah.
I'm done with work for the day, too.
I think the other way to think about it, too, though, is you have a really good sense of what makes sense and what doesn't.
Like That's beautiful,
like
yeah.
I was making fun of you for taking so long, but you were, like, reasoning it out. You're like, change or no change? No, God doesn't change. And then you just give us the answer. That was really impressive.
That was awesome.
Yeah, really cool.
Thanks, guys.
And Paul, the complete opposite. He takes 1 second to give you the answer and gives you a little bit of the theology of why.
Absolutely.
Nice job for you too, Paul. Awesome.
Thank you. But thanks for doing all the work, Vicky, at the end there.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this, Paul.
Yeah, Paul got to sit back and relax.
Would you now be? I'd like you to be honest with. I know you're always honest with me, Paul. I've never known you to lie to me. Would you have gotten all 7 correct? With like as you were.
I think so.
He was playing along.
No, Paul, did you miss the part where I said, be honest with me, Paul?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Honestly saying it.
All right. Well, that was
true.
Good. Because I don't think that was such an easy quiz. You know, no, docetism and antinomianism
absolutely.
Were on there.
There were a few of them that could
I thought
have been
that was
challenging.
That was pretty fair. All right. Well, we need to get, before you guys hang up or anything, make sure somebody gets your address so we can send you all of your prizes. Catholic Answer School of Apologetics is where you can go to take college-level courses, really, but not for college credit, and you don't have to do homework. You just follow along. Carlo, have you done any yet?
Yeah, I have one on purgatory, kind of using the material from my book, Purgatory is for Real, and then I also did one on the intercession of the saints. Oh. Some of the material coming from my 20 Answers, the Communion of Saints booklet with extra added material.
Yeah, right.
That's I'm kind of working on for a future book project.
Here. Oh, are you?
So,
oh, very good.
Sneak peek there. But yeah, so one on the saints, one on purgatory.
Yeah, and then as you work your way through these, you can become quite a good apologist. I mean, you start
sure.
with, I don't know where you want to start. You can start wherever you want, but we started with Jimmy Akin's Introduction to Apologetics, which gives you the overview of the whole thing, all the way to specific biblical apologetics or on particular topics like purgatory, as Carlo was talking about. So check it out at schoolofapologetics.com. That brings us pretty much to the end of this.
That you know what that was? That provided us a new experience of the Catholic Answers game show. We had never experienced such a hobbling along, crossing the finish line.
Like
it was amazing. Like
it was
come
like watching.
On,
it was like watching a genius savant at work.
It was
like
amazing,
I'll work
yeah.
this one out. Give me 10 minutes. I'll figure this out.
Vicky got it, man.
Vicky, tell us when your Summa comes out. We'll all buy it. Vicky in Nebraska, congratulations. Thank you.
Thank you guys so much. I love you.
And you too. And Paul in Texas, thank you. We had a great time.
Thank you. God bless y'all.
That about wraps it up for us. We'll see you next time. God willing. And after I have recovered from the stress of waiting, is Vicky going to get it right or not? I'm taking a vacation day tomorrow, Darren. I got to take a vacation day tomorrow. I'm exhausted. All right, we'll see you next time. God willing, right here on Catholic Answers Live.